We're starting a new series, The Naked Truth, and don't worry, there will be no bear pictures through this series. But what we are going to do is we are going to uncover, so to speak, God's ideals for love and intimacy. You know, if we're in a relationship where there's some expectation of love and intimacy, that relationship can bring incredible happiness. And those kinds of relationships can also bring a tremendous amount of pain. And what we want to do is we want to look at what makes for really great relationships in marriage. And whether that's in a marriage that we're in now or one that we are hoping to be a part of someday. And so over the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at three what I call naked truths. And by naked, I mean we want to expose God's direction to those things that will really address the really hard and real things in relationships. And we're going to use a book of the Bible called the Song of Songs. It's right in the middle of your Bible. It's an 8-chapter love poem that's complete with romance and sex and commitment and conflict and all the things that are a part of real relationships. And the title, Song of Songs, means it's the best of all songs. You're actually familiar with that grammatical construction in the Bible. Jesus is referred to as Lord of Lords. And that means that He is the supreme Lord of all lords. He's also referred to as King of Kings. He is the supreme King of all kings. He is the ruler of all kings. And so when we come to this book, Song of Songs, it's the best of all songs that can be found. And so this is an incredible story of love in the context of marriage. Now, let me just take a little aside here. If you're here and you have made a conscious, careful decision that you want to remain single, I first and foremost want to honor you. The Bible speaks highly of people who choose a life of being single so that they can devote themselves to the things of God. And any time you question that, just go to a chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's a chapter that just affirms and encourages that choice. And if you're in that situation, I think this series is still going to be helpful because the principles are still valid for all relationships, and these principles are valid as you help others in that. But we're going to focus on what makes for this really good relationship if we're married or if we hope to be married someday. We want a great relationship. We want to be in that relationship with a Mr. or Mrs. Right. We want to be in love, and we want that love protected in a commitment, and that commitment we call marriage. That's what marriage does. Love protects that love that we desire. We want this relationship of marriage to be good. We want it to be sensual. We want it to be sexual. We want there to be as little drama as possible. We want to be loved and honored and cherished and protected and appreciated and valued. And all of that describes intimacy. A love that truly has an intimacy to it. And we just dream of this in the sense of that Mr. or Mrs. Right. And so the question simply is, how's it going? Now don't answer. Don't answer. If you're married, maybe you're thinking, well, I thought I married Mr. or Mrs. Right. And over time figured out that maybe he or she fell a little short, and maybe there's a little elbow nudging going on right now. Or maybe you're married and you're here by yourself because your spouse doesn't share the values that you shared. And so in that, we wonder, what's my best shot at intimacy? Sometimes the question even goes to the place of, can I be attracted again to my spouse? And for those of us who are not married but are looking, we might be going online looking for that relationship, eHarmony.com, Match.com, ChristianMingle.com. We might have even tried the nightclub scene, or we might have even come to church thinking, this might be a good place I could find somebody, Mr. or Mrs. Wright. And when we're single and looking, we want to know, how can I find that person who's attractive and fulfilling? Well, here's the bare, naked truth. If we think that we're going to marry Mr. or Mrs. Wright, and that Mr. or Mrs. Wright is going to fulfill our lives and make our lives wonderful, we're just downright fooling ourselves. There is no such thing as Mr. or Mrs. Wright. They don't exist. Now, there's some good folks out there. Some are certainly better than others. But if our focus is on finding or having that person who's just so right, we're going to be frustrated. What I want to suggest is that we shift our focus, not on having or finding Mr. or Miss Wright, but rather on being Mr. or Miss Wright. Having a character, a godly character. And so that leads to what I want to suggest as our naked truth for today. Grow your character. Then, if you're still looking, look for a person of character. But it begins with growing your character. In other words, that means being a godly person. Growing to become a person that reflects the values of God. And here's what's interesting. As that becomes a part of who we are, and that takes time, that doesn't happen overnight, but as we grow our character, we become more attractive to people of character. It's an interesting dynamic that happens. And if we'll put more of our time and effort into focusing on ourselves and growing our own character, then there's some things that'll happen. One, we become a more attractive person. Just by the nature of our character. It's not about our physical qualities, it's about our inner qualities that show through that character. And then as we do that, we're also able to form relationships of intimacy. We will not form really healthy relationships that have the potential for intimacy if we're not growing our character. Character is absolutely essential to create intimacy. Character is absolutely essential if we're going to be able to respond to the people in our life who are less than perfect, which is everyone. That's why this character piece is so critical. Now, when we're talking about character, what are we talking about? We're talking about becoming more and more like Jesus. We're talking about this growing process where we really get how Jesus thinks more and more. And we understand His attitude towards life and people. And then we begin to actually do the things that Jesus would do. And we become more and more like Him. And that's our best hope for finding fulfillment, joy, and happiness, is continually becoming more and more like Jesus. The people in our lives are going to disappoint us. Our spouses will disappoint us. And that's why this thing of character is so critical, that following Jesus is our only hope of really experiencing the fulfillment in this life. And so I come back to that naked truth. Grow your character, because that is vital to a great relationship. Grow your character. And then if you're still looking, go for a person of character. So take your Bibles, open to Song of Songs, right in the middle of your Bible. Page 468 in the Bibles that are in the seats in front of you, or Song of Songs, chapter 1, starting right at the beginning, verse 2. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2. What we have here is we begin this whole love story, this whole love song, this love poem with this whole idea of attraction. You've got a man and a woman, and we begin to see right away the attraction that's happening between them. And you've got a little clue in your Bibles, especially if you have the NIV. It'll say she when she's speaking. It'll say he when he's speaking. Or it'll talk about their friends when their friends are in the conversation. This begins with she. Verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. She has found her Mr. Right. Now, we're at chapter 1. We're going to see later he's not so Mr. Right later. But right now, he's Mr. Right. And she's attracted him, and there's two kinds of attractions. The first one is obvious. There's always the physical attraction. And understand that when we're reading the Song of Songs, we're reading language that's 3,000 years old. So things are described a little differently 3,000 years ago than they are now. But if you just stay with it, you could figure this out. Notice what she said. She said, your love is more delightful than wine. Translated, he's intoxicating. He's incredible. And he's pleasing as the fragrance of your perfumes. I mean, he smells great. So in today's terms, he's sweet. Right? He's a hunk. But a hunk of what? So that's always the question. But notice there's a second thing that she's attracted to him now. Not just his physical appearance, but she's also attracted to something else. In verse 3, it says, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. He's got a name. Now, we have to understand something about what that means in the Bible. When the Bible uses name in these kinds of contexts, it doesn't just mean his literal name, his first name, his last name. The word name refers to a person's character. Okay? Name refers to everything about them, who they are, what they value, how they live their lives, just their nature of who they are. In fact, think about this. God gave us 10 commandments, right? Now, the third commandment, most of us remember that third commandment this way. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. The NIV translates it, do not misuse the name of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? For centuries, people have said, well, you don't use God's name in cussing or don't mispronounce his name. That's what the Jews thought. It has nothing to do with God's literal name. It has to do with his character. So when you think about that third commandment, what God is saying is, don't take my character lightly. I am a holy God. Respond to me as a holy God. I am a loving God. I am a God who knows all things and created all things. And I am the Lord of all. And he's saying is, take me for who I am and don't diminish any aspect of my character. Jesus invited us to pray according to his name. Now what we've done with that is we tack at the end of our prayers, in Jesus' name. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about adding a phrase at the end of our prayers. He's saying that when we pray, we need to pray according to his character. It would be inconceivable to ask Jesus to do something that's totally opposite of who he is. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying in a way that's consistent with the nature and the character of who Jesus is. Now in our story in Song of Songs, she says, he's got a sweet name. He's got a great character. People know that this is a good man. And she's attracted to his character. And that's the second part of this truth that I'm talking about today. She is going for the character. I knew my wife about 10 years before we were married. I knew her in high school, knew her in college. And early in our relationship, my wife, Jolene, decided that I was Mr. Right. Now, I was really slow in getting to that place, you know, of wanting to make that decision. In fact, I graduated from college. I began my first ministry in Yuma, Arizona. Yay, Yuma. And I had a great time there. It was a great church I was a part of. Had bought a house. Back then, housing was really ridiculously cheap. And life was going, and I was 23 years old, a normal guy with normal sexual desires. And I'm going, I don't want to live life alone. And I thought, you know, I need to get serious about thinking about marriage. I took this principle to heart, and I decided that I needed to find a person of character that I wanted to share life with. Now, to be honest, a little of that even was selfish, because I knew at 23, I was still really immature, especially in forming a relationship of intimacy. Now, I wasn't a bad guy. You know, I had a sincere faith. I truly loved the Lord. And I had already made the commitment in my mind that when I married, I would be faithful to my vows. And I knew that if I was going to marry somebody, I needed to marry somebody who would be mature and secure in the Lord, who would somehow hang with me as I figured out how to be a good husband. I knew I would be a challenge. And I also knew I would really work on it. And I needed to marry somebody who wouldn't give up too quickly and too easily. And as I thought about the people that I knew, there was only one person who came to mind that had that kind of a name, had that kind of a character. And that was Jolene. Here's a picture of us about the time we were engaged. Now, if you look really close, look at Jolene's facial expression. That facial expression says, I finally got him. See, isn't it there? I mean, you see it. It's as clear as can be. And then this is a more recent picture of how we look today. We've been together now 34 years. And so it worked. It worked. I went for somebody who had a great name. Now, she wasn't perfect. And certainly, romance and physical attraction were a part of the chemistry. But here's the deal. Romance and physical attraction are never enough to create a lasting, intimate relationship. And so what we're seeing here in the Song of Songs, what God is saying to us through this poem, is go for the character. Go for the character. But first, you have to grow your own character. Before we even look to find the person of character, we've got to be that very person that we're looking for. I don't mean all of their unique personality traits. I'm talking about truly being a person of character, because character trumps everything. Don't miss this. Character trumps everything. As we begin to age and as our beauty begins to fade, and that does happen, it will happen, character overcomes that. It's character that keeps the relationship growing and alive and fresh and intimate, regardless of the physical changes that we go through. Character helps us work through those times that we will discover the brokenness that's in each other. We are all broken people. We all have shortcomings. All of us have those shadows in our lives. Sometimes we're not even fully aware of it at a given point in our life. And having truly a solid character that's like Jesus helps us work through those challenging times in a relationship. Now, growing our character, that's a lifelong process. It never stops. But that's the part of it, is that if we have this heart that says, I want my character to continually be transformed more and more like Jesus, that's a process that never stops. And frankly, we can actually keep getting better and better and better until the day we actually die. We want to develop a name that's sweet, not just to the people around us, but to God Himself. And so we want to start with ourselves. We want to start working on ourselves before we're looking or expecting that in somebody else. But it always starts with us. We grow our own character. And actually, we see that in Song of Songs. Take your Song of Songs and turn to chapter 2. The beginning of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Notice what she says. This is really interesting. As she actually is describing herself, this lady in our story, as a Miss Right. Now, she's not arrogant. She's not proud. She's not boasting. And certainly she's not claiming she's perfect. But she's aware of the kind of person and character that she is. Notice what she says. She says, I'm a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. And then he responds, like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. Guys, don't try to use that for your wife. It won't work. But understand what's being said here. This was written 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago in what we know as modern-day Israel, roses were extremely rare. What's she saying? I'm rare. I have such a character that I am rare. I'm like a rose of Sharon. And he responds, yeah, you're like a lily among thorns. You are that kind of a rare person. Now, I want to encourage you to read Song of Songs. There was more in chapter 1 where she talks about how she has gone through some really difficult experiences. She's been abused and used by her family in some really horrible ways. And yet through all of the challenges of her life, she has come through that, not as a victim, but as a person of character. So that she can now say that even though I've been through all of these difficulties, I am a rose, I am a lily, and he recognizes that and sees that. And so I want to challenge you. If you want to have great relationships, start with yourself. Begin with who you are. Grow your character. We've been suggesting that a person who's following Jesus, that's called a disciple of Jesus, is consistently asking two questions. If you really want to follow Jesus well, you're going to need to ask two questions constantly. I suggest daily. And the first question is a question you ask to God. God, what are you saying to me right now at this point in my life? Through my circumstances, through my Bible reading, through my relationships, what are you saying to me? And then when God really speaks clearly through His Spirit, through His Word, through certain situations, then you ask the second question of yourselves, what am I going to do about it? I want to encourage you to ask that question about what we're talking, those two questions about what we're talking about. First question, God, right now, what are you saying to me about my character? What in my character needs to grow, needs to become more like Jesus? Asking that question sincerely and then following it with, and what am I going to do about it? How am I going to address this character issue? I think this is a good time if our servers, if you would please prepare for our communion and offering. And while they're doing that, I want to go farther with this. To ask the question, what about my character needs to be changed, is a no-lose project. Because as our character grows to become more and more like Jesus, we become more attractive people. Maybe we're married to Mr. Not-So-Right or Miss Not-So-Right. If we're growing our character, that character of Jesus will help us navigate a relationship with a not-so-perfect person. That's the only way we're going to be able to navigate that relationship well. If we're looking for that relationship, for Mr. or Miss Right, a character that's formed and shaped to be like Jesus will attract somebody who also values a character that's formed and shaped by Jesus. And you want that kind of connection. You want that kind of a person that you want to share your life with. If we want great relationships, we have to focus on our character. Yes, there's techniques, and yes, there's things that are helpful and practices that are helpful, but when it comes down to it, it's all about our character. Patience. Maybe that's a part of your character that needs to grow. Or maybe it's being trustworthy. And trustworthy is that I build trust with my spouse, with that important person in my life. I build trust because I actually do what I say I will do. That's what it means to be trustworthy. Dependable is a part of that. Or maybe it's just being truly gracious. Being able to overlook the things that don't really matter, but not ignoring the things that really matter. That's our God. Our God is so gracious to us. He understands our weakness. He understands our failures. But He doesn't stop speaking truth to us. But He does it in such a gracious way. That's a part of character. I could list a lot of things that may be true for you. Or sometimes it's easier for us to think of the things that need to grow in our character by thinking of the things that are not good. Like maybe you're a little stubborn, which is really an indicator of being selfish. And maybe that's one of those character pieces that needs to change. I want to give you spiritual homework. I want you to be sincere in asking the question, what in my character? Identify at least one thing that you want God to help you grow to become more like Jesus. That you can be more attractive. That you can become the kind of person that can help create truly an intimate relationship. The kind of relationship that we want. We want to be in love. We want to be protected in a commitment called marriage. We want that marriage to be good and sensual and sexual. We want to be loved. We want to be honored. We want to be protected. We want to be valued. We want to be appreciated. We want to experience intimacy. But for that to happen, we have to focus first on our character. Be a person of character. Be like Jesus. Grow your character. Then look for a person of character. In just a moment, we're going to take communion, and this is a really important part of our service. This is not just a way that we end our service. This is really an important time. And I know that because we do it every week, it can become routine. And I want to just challenge you that at this point, I always want to give you direction of how to use this time well. In a moment, the servers are going to pass the communion tray, and you take the cup of juice and the piece of bread. And those are symbols of Jesus and his love for us. And you pass the tray. And then as you hold that, this is a time to spend with God. As you hold the cup and the juice, just admit to God, just confess, just be honest with God that there is that thing in your character that you're aware of that's not good. It could be because of sin. It could just be because of selfishness. It doesn't matter. It's there. It's real. And just be honest with God. And as you're holding the cup and the piece of bread, remember at that moment that even though your character is not what you want it to be, your character is not what God wants it to be, you have absolute forgiveness through Jesus. Embrace that forgiveness. That's why you're holding the cup and the bread. Jesus died, and he forgave you of all your shortcomings. But don't stop there. Embrace his forgiveness. Embrace that he absolutely is for you and loves you and is with you. And then make the commitment at this time to truly give attention to growing your character in whatever specific way that might be. After communion, we take an offering. And I think offering is all about character as well. We always want to be generous to the one we love. That's an issue of character. And that's exactly what we do in our time of offering. It's an opportunity to be generous to the one we love. Let's pray. Father God, we confess to you in these moments our own failings, our own shortcomings, the things that are in our character that get in the way of really great relationships. And God, we want to grow to become more like Jesus. And so I'm asking you, God, through your Holy Spirit right now, to speak to each of us individually right where we are. Help us know that specific thing in our character that really needs attention right now. And grow us. Grow us to be more like Jesus. And God, we pray this because we know this is consistent with who Jesus is and what he wants. Amen.